Let's get into it real fast. Before we do it, just hold up your Bible. Let me see all the Word of God. I want to see your sword. Very important to bring that Word to church to make sure this preacher is reading it correctly, right? Now, if I skip a line because you're reading it, you'll catch it, but don't yell out. And 1 John chapter 2, we're going to finish what we've been talking about for about 3 weeks. Ricky came in the office after we practiced, and he said, "You going to be here next week?" I said, "Yep." "How about the next?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he was like, "Wow, 5 in a row." I said, "You go, boy." I thank God for it. For the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about, you know, getting freed from things that keep us in bondage, things that's held us captive. And we talked about 1 John chapter 1 really explained that it's very, very, very important to stay in the light. And then it distinguished, helped us to understand the difference between darkness and light. Amen. And you'll find out that in our God, there is no darkness at all. You can't fellowship in the light and in the darkness at the same time, because the light exposes darkness. Things that are not going right in your life, even hidden sins, will be exposed, y'all. So what we're trying to do, and listen to me very carefully, look at me. If you don't get anything, get this. Our God is not a God of guilt or condemnation. You hear me? I don't care if you've done something wrong yesterday. God doesn't try to make you feel guilty and condemned. You might receive some conviction of Him saying, "Don't do that." And you might reap some harvest of doing something wrong. But trust me, God is a graceful, forgiving God, even if people aren't, okay? Because they'll remember it, and that's the sad part, but your God won't. Matter of fact, He throws that sin, when you confess it, into the sea of forgetfulness. Ooh, that's good news. I mean, come on. Thank God He don't remember what I did in college. I tell the story sometime and remind everybody, but just for examples of His forgiveness and so on. And so if we don't live in guilt and condemnation, in condemnation, then understand that if you're dealing in with something that's just had you bound and you've struggled in this area. A couple of weeks ago, we just laid hands on each other and got set free. I mean, we need to be free. We had a freedom service, remember? And then last week, we jumped in 1 John chapter 2, because we need to then learn, if you get set free from that spirit that's got you bound in some areas, I don't care if it's anger, gossip, or even stronger than that, drugs and alcohol or whatever. When you're set free of something, how many of you know the Word says that the enemy, the devil, comes immediately to try to steal the Word? And we got to make sure he don't get the Word stolen from us. So that's why you got to remain in the light of Jesus Christ, the light, and not in darkness, okay? And so, in order to remain freed from whatever it is that's holding people bound and captive, that's what we learned last week, and it's real important to understand, you know, abiding in God is very important. But I wanted to emphasize a couple of things that last week and this week as well, is how God starts off chapter 2, this is 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, as my little children. And the reason I believe that he starts off my little children is we've got to remember that childlike faith is really important. And we explained starting churches and even starting this one, how people called immediately wanting to be in leadership positions before they even knew they was called to the church. And usually what you get by starting a new church is all the church hoppers that wasn't satisfied with their last church trying to find one that they'd get satisfied in. Or that they were offended at the last church and they come to a brand new church, and normally they don't ever deal with the offense, and they bring the offense to the new church, you see. And as a pastor, you normally deal with the religious type people, and they are usually the problem people. Of course, that's not y'all. Amen. You don't want it to be you, because then you get rebuked, and you know, it's never a fun thing. And then you go and church hop again. No. You want to find somewhere where you can plant. And even if we make some mistakes, God forgive us. We're not going to do it on purpose. But where you're planted is where you grow. And so you don't want to be a religious person coming to a new church, bringing in all that baggage junk. No. You need to get set free from it. And that's what really the second chapter of 1 John is trying to get us to, is to that place where, you know what, I just want to receive from God. And then God calls a shepherd who hopefully is listening to the shepherd, and you'll know it if he isn't. No, I spend lots of hours to listen to the shepherd, Jesus. Now, he's the Lord of your life, but in this church, he's called me. And I want to make sure I do it with integrity. And I want to see people, instead of going in and out of the trials and tribulations, and usually the same ones over and over, they'll get set free for a few months and then seems like that temptation comes back. No, I want you to be set free and get the boldness of God, that you know who you are in Christ Jesus, that you can speak to the mountain and command it to be cast in the sea. And that mountain of whatever it is, addictions or even just, man, the heartache and hurt from past relationships or whatever, is gone in Jesus' name, and they don't affect you any longer. I mean, the boldness of just knowing who you are when a doctor diagnoses you with some disease or sickness, that you have the understanding and the authority and the power and the knowledge to say, no, I am not bound by what a doctor says. I'm bound by what the great physician says. And he says, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus to his glory. Come on. I mean, I just think it's time that we stop sugarcoating the word of God and believe the stuff and watch the manifestations happen in our life. We need to get set free from things that are holding us bound. You know, because I'm telling you, I deal with it all the time with people. It's just they're great in all other areas, but this one thing. And we all know what it is in our own heart. The other people may not know what's going on in your life, but I'm telling you, God does, and you do. But we got to get set free from it, see? Okay? So we're going to start in verse 10 and get through this, and I'm just going to read some scripture to you, and then I want to share some things about six benefits of staying free and in the light and not in darkness. Because remember, let's go back to 1 John, and it'll teach us that we've got to stay in the light and not darkness. Okay? We can't be fence riders any longer. I don't even think there's such a thing in these days. I mean, you either on one side or the other. If you're born again, I'm not saying you made some mistakes, but if you're born again, you're on the right side of righteousness, because you're made righteous if you're born again. Okay? You may not do some righteous things, but that doesn't mean you're not righteous, because you're made that way. You just got to start learning. We got to start learning how to live according to the Word of God and not be dabbling in some areas of darkness. I know people think I meddle sometimes when I talk about alcohol, but I'm telling you, I've never seen anything good from it. None of it. Because the enemy has used it, and I'm not talking that people can't handle the stuff, because a lot of you can. But I'm talking, I've seen devastating things from that one spirit, alcohol. But people, they don't want to give that up. And I understand, if God didn't tell you to give it up, you do what God says, but I can promise you that spirit will always lead to very bad things if it's not done correctly. Amen? Okay. So let's go and just make sure that no matter what, we can stay free from things that we've been bound. And sometimes we're bound for a long period of time in some of these areas. We're captive. I'm not saying you're worshiping the enemy and you're not going to heaven when you die. I'm just talking about, why wouldn't we want to have victory after victory instead of a victory here and then back three steps and a lot of junk happens in our life? I mean, we backed off and dadgummit, here I'm going through this thing again, and then you'll get victory over it, and then you, I mean, that's the way the enemy wants you to be. He wants you to, everything kind of good. Oh, then all hell breaks loose. Well, we've got to figure out how to stay freed and understanding who we are in Christ Jesus, especially in these days. Because listen to me, we're in the last of the last days. I'm telling you, I'm going to say it. I don't care if we all go home to Jesus and die and grandkids and great-grandkids come and keep living. I'm telling you, we're in the last of the last days, because all you've got to do is read this word. You just read Isaiah and you'll start seeing all the prophet, everything that Isaiah said prophetically is coming to pass, y'all, in front of our eyes. And I believe it's happening a little bit faster now because we're seeing it a little bit faster because of social media, etc. And that's not a scary thing. That's just to keep believers hooked on the Word of God. What else are we seeing in our world even? Man, what was right is now wrong. And what was wrong is now right in a lot of people's eyes. We're seeing God being pushed out of our country. I mean, we have leadership in a lot of our government areas that, I mean, they don't want to have anything to do with our God. But yet, Christians need to continue to stand on God's word that this country was founded on godly principles. But man, when you get beat up so many times, it just makes you go, wow, I just don't want to get persecuted anymore. You see? But yet God's saying, no, you stay hooked. Don't you let these little areas that have you bound and captive, don't you let those areas defeat you. Because the light of Jesus will expose any of that darkness, and you'll get set free and you'll get deliverance. Amen. And you'll stay that way in Jesus' name. And you'll have the joy of the Lord. You'll have the peace of God that passes. I'm not saying that there won't be attacks, because we live in a world that is still under the sin nature, but not believers. We've been translated into a different kingdom because we're born again of Jesus. Amen? Okay, now, so let's get set free and stay set free. So let's continue to allow God to just give us a little bit more wisdom. Verse 10, 1 John chapter 2. You ready? He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not where he goes, but that darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children. See, there it is again. Because your sins are forgiven. Forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers. It's amazing how he went from little children to now fathers. Because you have known him that is from the beginning, talking about Jesus. I write unto you, young men, and he transitions to young men now, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you've known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. Man, this is some good stuff, y'all. And you've overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away. Listen, the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of the God abides forever. Come on, shout amen over that. Let me keep reading. All right. Where was I? 18 says what? Little children. There we go back to kids. Childlike faith. It is the last time. As you've heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. That's why I'm telling you we're in the last days, okay? So what we're learning here, especially in this church, and I hope in every church, is how to operate in the end times. There may be a lot of attacks going around. We might see a lot of devastations. I mean, my Lord, you turn on the news, I don't know how many people have been killed in California. Different, I mean, just, there's seven, there's, I mean, just bam, bam, bam. We're seeing anti-police like crazy. And then some police officers get exposed for doing the wrong thing. I mean, and we're seeing it all over. I mean, I don't know if we're seeing it a lot in Texas because of our belief system here, but crime, wow. You go to another city. We visited Memphis and Nashville over Christmas. And I mean, that's where, you know, the boy was killed by the five cops in Memphis, Tennessee. I mean, just seeing it over and over and over. But listen to me. When you're a born-again, fired-up, Bible-toting believer of the Word of God with a .357 Magnum, then you tend to protect yourself. So that's why we don't see it as much in Texas, because with that crime, you come into our houses and it's not very good. I mean, you're probably going to go to one place or the other, heaven or hell. Now, if we shoot you, we will try to raise you from the dead a little bit, because we're nice. We're believers. And we'll try to get you born again before you die again. Now, listen, though, okay? So here, we're talking about the last times. Verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out. And listen to me. The reason that, again, here's another confirmation, I'd say, of being in the end times, is you're actually seeing what I just read happening now. You're seeing a lot of people going away from the faith. I mean, have a hard time in a trial and tribulation, and I mean, they're just backing off. And that's why I'm not real big on college. You know, even though my daughter's in college, the right college is really good, but the wrong ones, I knew ministers' kids that came back from college after 4 years not believing in God anymore, because they were just suffocated with doubt, unbelief, and all that junk. But we're seeing even people that were born again. You can probably think of some right now. I mean, fired up when you were younger, now not even serving the Lord. You can't even tell if they're born-again people, how they act and what they do, see. Okay, so we're seeing this right now. They went out from us, verse 19, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued. They had stayed hooked with us, right? But they went out that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. But, verse 20, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things, See, he's talking back to the kids, the fathers, the young men, etc., including all, that's all of us. I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. And no lie is in the truth. Look at me. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. That's why I'm not afraid to stand up here and tell you that there's only two genders. There's a man and a woman created by God. And don't get confused that there's 50 some odd on Facebook that you can identify as. Okay. Here we go. Jesus. Glory be to God. I told the governor of Texas when I went and ate with him, I said, and I was sitting right, you know, he's in a wheelchair, and I'm sitting right beside him. I don't know why they sat me beside him, but they did. And I said, hey. And he asked a question to all of us, and I said, you know what? We just happen to not be afraid of getting a 501c3 taken away. We're going to tell the truth, and we're going to speak the truth of the Word of God, because the truth is the truth, and we know the truth. And he goes, you go, boy. You go. He said, that's an awesome thing. And I really respected him for that. Where did I go off? Verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Verse 24. Let that, therefore, abide in you, which you've heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. In other words, don't you dare give up on your Savior. No matter what. You are freed from things that are keeping you bound and captive. And you need to stay free. And the way you stay free is you stay in the light, you stay in the promise, you continue in the Son and the Father. Don't you give up on your Savior, even though He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Even though the Father God is in heaven and you can't see Him in the flesh. Even though the Spirit of God, the third of the Trinity, is right here in the midst of you and I, we might not be able to see the Spirit of God, but I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is here. And He wants to minister to every single one of us and keep us set free from the things that hold us bound. Okay? Now check this out. Verse 25, and this is the promise that He's promised us, even eternal life. But the anointing, oh man, I love the anointing. Oh. But the anointing which you have received of Him abides in you. And listen, let me stop right there. You need to understand that. If you're born again, the anointing and the anointed one lives on the inside of you. That's why we use His name. We don't use the name of Corey Ross. We don't use the name of Cowboy Church or Catholic Church or whatever church. We use the name that's above every name, Jesus, the Son of God. And we can't fall away from that. Okay? So, the anointing which you have received in Him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, or of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it has taught you, you shall abide in Him. We're staying hooked, right? So verse 28. And now, little children, there it is again. I mean, I think he's just trying to tell us, look, stay so humbled like a little child that isn't bogged down from all the religious junk and the hurts of church. I mean, just a little child that if God says, I can do all things through Christ, if He says it, by golly, I've got the childlike faith just to believe it. And I don't have to have the thoughts in my mind of, I wonder if that stuff is true. I wonder. No. If you keep abiding as a little child, abide in Him, it says. that when he shall appear, we will have confidence. Listen to me, as a rodeo competitor, still professionally, fixing to go to Yuma, Arizona in about a week and a half, 2 weeks. Confidence is one thing that it tries to defeat all of us rodeo cowboys. And I just say rodeo cowboys because, you know, I identify in that area. But what about the rest of us in different areas of our lives? If your confidence is down, oh man, that's when the enemy just wreaks havoc. When you lose confidence, I mean, take someone going through a divorce. What is that designed to do, that divorce? Ruin your confidence. Because if you're a man and you've lost someone that was attracted to you and now is not attracted to you anymore for whatever reason, all it's designed to do is break down confidence. Same on the other side. A woman where the man was attracted to her and for some reason he's attracted to other things. Usually that guy's, that's a spirit, man. That's a demonic spirit that you got to get set free from because it's got you bound into thinking that it's greener on the other side, right? Okay. All it's designed to do, though, is for you to lose confidence. Now, that's why you come to a Bible-believing church like this one. We're going to help you keep that confidence where you can speak to the mountain. And the hurts, the things that's hurt you, for whatever reason, family, relationships, etc., if you get the confidence, you'll get set free from that. And then the right one that God has for you will come along and you'll know it. You see, you'll have the confidence. You won't be a little timid person. No, God didn't give us a spirit of timidity. No, he gave us a spirit of power. See, all right, listen to this, and I'm going to show you six things, and then we're done. It's 11:39 on the big clock in the back. Let me read 28 again. And now, little children, abide in him that he shall appear, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone which does righteousness is born of him. All right? I'm going to show you six things that we see in here that will be a benefit for you staying free and staying in the light. Number one, you see it all the way up in 10. The very first thing that will be a benefit is there won't be any stumbling. Now, when you stay in the light, when you abide in, that's why Psalms 91 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall, say it with me, abide. Shall, say it louder, everybody, shall abide in him. And then it goes on to say, he's my refuge, my fortress. And all that means is that everything you do is abiding under God, under his protection, etc. So we need to abide in him. But what does the enemy want you to do? Stumble. Because when you stumble, you lose confidence. Listen to me. You've got to get back into your call. Because you get out of your call, and I'm seeing this all over with musicians. They get out of their call. They once were doing what God called them to do. And then they get out of the call for whatever reason, and then, I mean, things just go haywire because they have gotten out of the call. Just receive that if that was for you, okay? But when you stumble, that's when you get up, you dust yourself off, and you start over again. I mean, God's a forgiving God, y'all. Just get up and start over again. Thank God for grace and mercy. Say amen to that. Here's the second thing that will be a benefit of staying freed from being bound and being captive in areas of our life and staying in the light. You see it in verse 11. You see clearly when you're in the light. What does it say? But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not where he goes. I mean, you're hitting every wall, y'all. But because the darkness has blinded his eyes. When you stay in the light and you want to stay free, you'll start seeing very clearly. I mean, you'll see if you're fixing to get into a bad situation. It'll be there. Uh-oh. And it might be hard to get out of a bad situation, but I'm telling you, you'll have clarity. You'll have vision to say, nuh-uh, that is not right. It's like a business deal. I mean, you need clarity when you're going into a business deal that might cost you a whole lot of money. And if you got clarity and you see it, uh-oh, that's not good. Or you'll see that you better get into that thing, you see, because you got clarity. Here's the third benefit of staying free and in the light. That, oh gosh, you're forgiven. Say amen to that, y'all. Come on. You're forgiven. Look at verse 11. I'm sorry, verse 12. Little children, your sins are forgiven. You know what holds most people back? Past. So God puts in the Word of God constantly, forget. Look at me. Forget. Forget those things that are behind. Press forward to that mark. Forget it. No, you're forgiven. See that when you really understand that, you know what? I'm forgiven, sir. I know I did it again and again and again and again. And, sir, it's me again. Remember that song, Margaret? It's me again. I did it again, sir. The enemy, what is he doing? Guilt, condemnation. I can't believe you, preacher. You did it again? Now, don't think anything. I haven't done anything wrong as right now. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. Say it. I'm forgiven. Say it with confidence. I'm forgiven. Okay? All right? Here's the fourth benefit of staying free and in the light, that you have victory over Satan. Say that. I have victory over Satan. Look at verse 14 again. I've written unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. You've overcome him. You know why? Because of Jesus. Not because of your own self works. No, no, no. No, because of the Lord that lives on the inside of you, Jesus. They call me a Jesus man in the rodeo arena or wherever I go, because I'm constantly, I am a Jesus man. You know why? Because he's the Lord of my life. I love him. I didn't tell my wife this. I don't know why I didn't, but she was in the room. I was sitting. I was playing solitaire with the cards, you know. And I win all the time. If you'll do one card at a time, you win a lot. That three card, no, don't do that. It does not bring confidence to you in any way. And I was playing solitaire, and I'm telling you, the presence of the Lord. And he's done this to me many, many, many times. I felt him, and he started just like almost like he's rubbing the right side right here. And I'm like, hey, Lord. And he just I felt the anointing. I mean, you know, when chills go all over your body for no reason. I mean, y'all, I'm just playing solitaire. There wasn't someone that just got healed. They didn't get raised from the dead. Didn't grow an arm. Dog didn't, you know, anything. I mean, I was just sitting playing a solitaire. And boy, and Jamie, Seth was at a roping school in Oklahoma, and it was just me and Jamie. And she was in the room doing something, and I mean, I just said, Father, oh, man, I love you. I could just feel it. You know, it's almost like it itched a little bit. But I knew it because he's done that to me that way over and over in my life. And I can't tell you the gratification of just knowing that God is on my side. It was almost like, hey, man, I'm so pleased with you. I mean, now the enemy is, what is he doing? Oh, yeah, but come on, you ain't perfect. I mean, why ain't this church bigger? Well, it's pretty good. I mean, a lot of seats are full, sir. I mean, this is, I shouldn't have said sir to the devil, but all he's trying to do is ruin my confidence and remind me of my past. No, I am forgiven for things that I did years and years ago or even yesterday. Now, I don't think I did anything wrong yesterday. Let me think. I don't think I did. All right. Anyway, I should have told you, Mama, but I didn't. I just praised him for, it was about 5 minutes, and then I went back and won solitaire again. Oh, I've got victory, though, over the enemy, right? Okay, here's the fifth thing. Here's the benefit of staying free in the light, that by staying rooted in the Word of God gives you great stability. Look at, again, verse 27, but the anointing which you've received in Him abides in you, and you need not that any man teaches you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in it. When you abide in something, y'all, you've got stability. I mean, you can stand firm like an old mule. You can't, you're not going to get, you're not going to make me go backwards to the days of Babylon, back to, that's unbelief, or before I gave my life to Jesus. No, I'm going to stay square-footed on the Word of God, because I need to be rooted in this Word. That means that when things and the winds are real strong against us in whatever area it is, health, finances, marriages, relationships, I mean, just suicidal thoughts, whatever it might be, if you stay rooted and grounded in the Word of God, I'm telling you, you will stay set free from the enemy trying to attack you and keep you down. Here's the last thing, and we'll quit. The last thing, the sixth thing that I see here in 2 John chapter 2 that will benefit us and cause us to stay free and stay in the light of the Lord is just that. We'll have confidence and boldness. We'll have confidence and boldness. Verse 28, and now little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, you may have, say it with me, are y'all reading it with me or just let me read it? Are y'all reading it? What is that? It says it, let me see if the Amplified says the same. Yeah, perfect confidence, boldness, and assurance, that you may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Listen to me. Jesus is going to return, and I don't know the time. No one does, remember? We don't know the time or the place. But I'm telling you, He's coming back. He's coming back for a bride. He's coming back for a church. A born-again church. This building is not the church. We are the church, okay? This building will dry, burn, do whatever one day. You are the church. I'm the church. We're where the Spirit of God is housed. I mean, we are the one that houses the Spirit of God. We are a fleshly body that has a soul. Remember, your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. But that's where the spirit is who we are. And that soulless realm, it tries to attack this body constantly. But listen to me, when you're grounded in the Word of God, there's nothing that can come against you. Loneliness, be gone in Jesus' name. There's a lot of people that just get lonely. No, you got the Father. Just spend some time with Him. I'll never forget being in the ministry and ministering to college kids. Me and a friend, Trey Johnson, we started in the ministry 1996 by ourselves. My family ministered a long time since 1984 at rodeos, etc. And so we started ministering at the college rodeos. Lots of people getting saved. But my spiritual dad, Glenn Smith, gave us a camper. And it had an air conditioner and a couple of beds, nothing else. And so we'd go to the college rodeo to minister for 4 days. And the first one in the southwest region, like Snyder, Texas, or one of them, or Big Spring, we felt alone. I mean, no one was around. Matter of fact, everybody went to the dance. And here me and Trey was just by ourselves. And nothing wrong with the dance, but we just wanted to, we wanted to serve the Lord and not be in that atmosphere at that particular time for us. But it was lonely. It's like, wow, where's everybody at? Well, I'd grab a guitar and I just begin to sing. And the next college rodeo was, I believe, in Snyder. And we were parked and we were able to plug in so we'd have some air conditioner. It was hot. And it was that night before the performance. And I just grabbed a guitar and here come about two or three cowboys. And I sat down and I just started singing. And then Trey would grab a Bible. And before we knew it, there were 20 or 30 all around us. Matter of fact, during the church services on a Saturday, there would be 150, 200 college kids, parents, and fans come to our services. You see, even though you're lonely, if you stay hooked and understand that God is your source, He's your Father, and just stay hooked, man, He'll just start bringing people your direction so that you're not lonely any longer. If you're dealing in some area, other areas of your life, man, you stay hooked with God and watch that confidence rise up where people are needing you to get them more confident. And just let God continue to do. If you've got a mate that's not serving the Lord and you it's just weighing on you, or maybe they're drifting away, man, it's time that you stay hooked on the Word of God so that you can see, number one, what you're believing God for, which is reconciliation, and for that person to get set free and not be bound any longer. You see, there's something about staying hooked in the light, y'all. So today, even though we're in the midst of a lot of darkness in our world, we're going to stay hooked on God's light where there is no darkness at all in Jesus' name. Amen? Come on. Come on, stay hooked. You got to stay hooked. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're not saved and born again, it's time to. Maybe you're watching from all over. I know we have people watching. And if you're watching, share so that other people can watch it that may not tune into this broadcast. But if you're not born again and Jesus is not the Lord of your life, He needs to be today. There's no reason to be living in this world without the Savior, without the Prince of Peace. The light of the world. It's time we get out of darkness, y'all, and stay hooked in God's light. His word, the Bible, is light. So if you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do that by praying a prayer with me. I'm talking about if you died, you don't know what would happen to you. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, or you hadn't really thought about it. I want you to think about it now. Because you're going to go to one of the two places when you leave this earth. With Jesus, the Son of God. Remember John 3:16. Even unbelievers know this scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus. That whosoever believes on Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what everlasting life is? Living somewhere forever and ever and ever and ever. And that's what heaven is. But listen to me, that's what hell is. Hell, you're going to live there forever and ever and ever. And you're not playing cards with your buddies. You cannot play solitaire, y'all. in hell. It's terrible. Man, when you study hell, whoo. The Bible says forever and ever and ever and ever, it's so hot that you'll beg for a drop of water on your tongue. Please don't choose hell. There's no preacher that can make you go to heaven, y'all. You've got to choose it. So that's why I'm asking you to choose Jesus by praying a prayer with me. All the believers in here, as you know, are going to pray this prayer with you if you're praying it for the first time. But all I'm asking you, if you've never met Jesus and He's never been the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you to receive Him. And all we're going to do is pray Romans 10 and 9 that says, if you'll confess with your mouth, so that's why we're going to do it out loud, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. So we're going to pray that prayer. If you've never done that, I want you to pray it with all of us. And we're all going to pray it because I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front to get saved. I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting or standing to receive Jesus by praying this prayer out loud. And believers, would you pray it with me as well? Out of your mouth, say this and pray it where your ears can hear it. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of all my sins, because this day is my God day. Jesus is my Lord. And I pray that to you, Father, in Jesus' name. No one looking around, just real fast. If you just prayed that prayer, I want you to be, it might take a little bit of boldness, but it's not going to be hard, because you're born again. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, when I count to three, I want you just to raise your hand up and then put it right back down. Here's why I have you do that. The Bible says if you'll acknowledge Jesus before men, Jesus says, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. In other words, don't be ashamed ever of Jesus being the Lord of your life, no matter how old a person is, young or old. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your heart to Jesus and you meant it, when I say three, I want you to just raise your hand up. You're saying, God, I meant that prayer. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. And then just put your hand back down. Would you do that with boldness? Ready? One, two, three. Go. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Appreciate that. Glory. Make sure you raise it up. Let me see it. And then just put it right back down. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Right on the end. I appreciate you, little cowboy. Just no one looking around. Just amen. Anybody else? You just prayed that prayer you never had before. Don't be ashamed. Just acknowledge it before God. If you hadn't already, just raise your hand up and let me see it, and then just put it down. That's all I'll ask you to do. Thanks, brother. Appreciate you, little man. Good boy. I'll hand you a Bible too. Glory. Anybody else? Just I want to make sure I don't. All right, look at me. Y'all have a good time this morning?